So let's go. So we've had a little bit of a break, and we haven't learnt for several weeks now, but want to get back into the flow of things. And tonight we're dealing with the Issa Simcha for an Avel, the prohibition against an Avel participating in and joining various types of Simcha. I would say, from a practical rabbinic perspective, that this is actually one of the most common shaylot that come up in Avilut. There's always a flurry of questions when a person's sitting shiva, and then the most important question that comes up for a person during the course of their year of Avilut is, under what circumstances can they go to various types of smachot and the like. So hopefully we will clarify some of those issues this evening, though we'll actually see as we go through that to a large degree there isn't clarity on this matter, and in actual fact the lack of clarity will perhaps help inform us to some degree about what's happening. So let's start off with a Gemara in Moed Katan, Daf Kaf Bet Amud Bet. So the Gemara says as follows: Al kol hamitim kulan. That means that if a person is mourning for any relative other than a parent, nichnas levet haSimcha la'achar 30 yom, then they can participate in a simcha. And of course, at this point in time, we haven't quite defined what a simcha is. But nichnas levet haSimcha, a person can participate in a simcha la'achar 30 yom, after the shloshim have concluded, meaning the prohibition exists for the entire duration of the avelut. Al aviv yalimo, and if a person's mourning a parent, la'achar 12 chodesh, then this heter applies after yud bet chodesh, after the entire period of avelut has concluded. And as we've seen previously, there are a number of cases where there's a difference between that's the avilut for parents and the avilut for other relatives that we saw with regard to hair cutting, as a classic example, and with other cases as well, we saw a certain distinction between the avilut that applies for parents, which is much longer in duration than the Avilut for Shah Krovim. Another example that we saw with regard to Sheilat Shalom, that's where we said you don't inquire after the welfare of an Avel using the term Shalom for Yud Beit Chodesh if it's a parent, etc., etc. So that distinction is not terribly surprising to us. That's Amar Rabba Baba Chana. So Rabba Baba Chana said, Ulasimchat Mereyut. Now let's look at Rashi to understand this. So Amar Rabba Hadatanya, what we just said, Nichnas Levet HaMishteh Achar 30 Yom, that for other relatives you can go to a Beit HaMishteh. That's, and it's interesting to note that Rashi's text is slightly different. He says Beit HaMishteh, our Gemara said Beit HaSimcha. That's of course, we should point out that the Rashi on the Gemara that's in Masechet Moed Katan isn't really Rashi. It was somebody from the school of Rashi, but it wasn't Rashi. L'simchat mreyut, suda she'osin re'im va'ahuvim zeim zeh. A social gathering, I would say. V'lo have simcha kol kach. It's not real simcha. It's a dinner party. Aval suda de simcha, but simcha dikamil. Kagondin isuin law. If, for example, a wedding feast, then they can't participate in even after Shloshim Yom. Now, this is, of course, a very radical suggestion, because this is the first time we're seeing any suggestion that the Avilut for Shakrovim, for other relatives, extends beyond 30 days. But in any event, that seems to be what Rabbas say, is that it's the heter after Shloshim Yom applies to a social gathering, but not to a simcha suda. So the Gemara says, Meitive, hold on a minute, v'lisimcha v'limreyut Shloshim Yom. We didn't make any distinction in the brighter, we said, you know, oh, and another brighter says, v'lishimcha v'limreut shloshim yom, that the prohibition that applies equally to simcha and mereut, simcha being something like a wedding, and mereut being something like a dinner party, both of them apply only for shloshim yom. There is no avilut that's beyond 30 days. That's for shakrovim. It's again, it's interesting the exact nisuach here of the Gemara. Instead of the Gemara saying, hold on a minute, where do we get a notion of avilut after shloshim? That's for shakrovim. Just quoting from the brighter, sort of in a more in a tighter fashion, saying that there's a brighter that says l'simcha l'mereyut shloshim yom, that both prohibitions only extend for 30 days. So kasha, that's a very good kasha. It's such a good kasha that in actual fact the Gemara brings this ameima matni hachi. Ameima learnt the whole sugya rather differently. Amar Rabba Baba Chana. So Rabba Baba Chana's statement was a little bit different after the Gemara said that for Shakrovim, the prohibition lasts for 30 days, and for parents, it lasts for 12 months. V'lisimchat mereut, so this is different to simcha v'limreut, but v'lisimchat mereut, mutali kanes l'alta. You can participate in that immediately. That's v'hatanya. So then we ask a kash and say, hold on, we said l'simcha shloshim, v'limreut shloshim. That's both Simcha and Mereyut apply for 30 days. There's no heter of doing either of them prior to 30 days. So the Gemara answers, Lo Kasha, this isn't problematic. Ha Ba'ari Suta, Ha Bafuranuta. One is where one's starting off the cycle, and the other is where one's repaying. Now, what does this mean? Let's look in Rashi, or pseudo-Rashi, as we might want to call it. Now, so look at Rashi. Haba arisuta haba furanuta. Arisa hainu shematchil echad mehen lasot suda. That's where one person in a group starts, he makes a suda, umarvel chulam, and literally he's lending to the others, we'll explain, kadei sheyasu gam heim namikach, so they'll also do something similar. Lo ta suda inu nichnas ad lachar shloshim yom. He can't be part of that suda that's bichlal within the 30 days. Aval b'fura nuta, but if he's got a responsibility or a liability to the others, shem shalem lahem suudot shenasu lo, he's paying back his turn, yikanes la'alta, then he can be part of that immediately. Sheyef shashet lo, shelo l'shalem. That's because it's, you know, he can't not do his bit. So what it seems like is that in Talmudic times, there was some sort of, they seem to have some sort of luncheon club or something like that. That's where everybody would, there'd be a group of people. This could be, you know, the Montefiore Smicha, that's dinner club. And every Wednesday evening, somebody else in the on the course hosts and sponsors dinner in honor of everybody. That's what we're saying. If we haven't got this up and running yet, so then that's you know, you can't be part of it. But if it's up and running, and you know it's been going for, you know, 3 months already, and you've had you've eaten 12 dinners with other people, and now it's your turn to host, you can't just turn round and say, oh, well, you know, I'm very sorry, that's I'm an avel now. That's but you've got a responsibility there to, as it were, pay your dues, and therefore you can be part of it. That's so that's what it's saying. So we're making this distinction between where you've got a liability to provide a dinner party. But if you don't have a liability to do so, so then you're not allowed to do so. Okay. Oh, but we're not bichlal, you know, we haven't mentioned, you know, music at all. It does, even, well, what we're saying is, well, I mean, we're seeing, I suppose in a certain sense, this is a big chiddush, we're seeing the notion that, that even simchat mereyot, even a dinner party, right, is going to be prohibited. Even a dinner party is regarded as a form of simcha. That's in this regard. Okay, let's go on and see what's going to happen with this. So the Rambam says as follows. Perek Vav Halacha Vav, Simchat Mereyut Shayach Chayav Lifroa Otah Miyad. So if you've got this commitment to host a meal, Mutar La'asot Otah Miyad La'achar Shiva, then you can do that immediately after the Shiva. So the Rambam's adding to sort of what we saw in the Gemara, because, you know, the Gemara just, said Mutar Likanesh La'alta. Didn't clarify for us that this is after Shiva, but it's, you know, Shiva is much more intense. There's not a Havamina that you can do it during Shiva, but straight after Shiva you can. Mutar la'asol tam yad la'achar Shiva, aval im einu chayav lepara, asol la likanes la ad shloshim yom. If you don't have this liability there, then you can't do it. Barmei devarim amurim, halacha zayin, he asks, in what context, under what circumstances do we say this? Bishar kol meitim, if one is an avel for another relative, aval aviv v'alimo, but if one's an avel for a parent, bein kach uvein kach lo yikanes l'simchat mereyut ad shnei masar chodesh, then you can't participate under any circumstances in simchat mereyut until Shnei Masar Chodesh is up, until the 12 months of Avilut is concluded. So that, again, is quite radical and quite a big chiddush, I would say. That's, bear with me momentarily, please. You can't, I'm sorry. This is quite a big chiddush, I would say. That's, what we're seeing here, because now we're seeing for the first time, a qualitative distinction between the Avelut of Yud Beit Chodesh and the Avelut of, and the Avelut of Shloshim, or the Avelut for, the Avelut for parents and the Avelut for other relatives. That's something that we we're not familiar with, till now. Till now, we've always seen a distinction only with regard to, only with regard to duration of the Avelut. And now what we're getting is a distinction with regard to the intensity of the Avelut. That's and this is interesting, because the Rambam is saying it for us. It's not clear from the from the Gemara. However, that's many of the other Rishonim that's are saying that as well. In fact, I haven't seen any of the other Rishonim who say differently. So this needs a little bit more investigation, but this is, really quite a significant chiddush that we have here, that there's a difference in intensity as well for the prohibitions, in terms of, for other relatives, you're allowed to participate in such a social gathering, if you've got a liability towards it, that's after Shiva. Whereas for parents, you're not that heta of participating in it after Shiva doesn't exist, doesn't even exist after Shloshim, and that's a big chiddush. Okay, so in any event, what the Rambam's told us, that is, Simchat Mereyut is you know is prohibited for the for the duration of this time. That and he doesn't talk about any other type of simcha. So this is very significant. That's all the Rambam's telling us is that simchat merayut is prohibited whilst one is an avel. It would seem from this, I think logically one would assume that the shita of the Rambam is that, you know, if you, I can't go to a dinner party, then kal vachomer I can't go to a wedding. That's because, you know, a dinner party, you know, it's not so simchadik. You know, it's, you know, a group of middle-aged people sitting around that's, you know, talking about, you know, how difficult it is to get, you know, the wine that they want during lockdown or something like that. That's, whereas a wedding, you know, is something which is really simchadik. Now, let's look at the Rosh, because the Rosh raises a number of questions about whether we can make distinctions between various types of gatherings. That's, and again, we should note that there's a little bit of sort of ambiguity in the Gemara, because the Gemara spoke first about Beta Simcha, and then it spoke about Simchat Mereut, and then it spoke about that Simcha Vilim Reut. That's, you know, so are they synonymous? Are they different? Is there Simchat Mereyot? Is there Simchat An Mereyot? Etc., etc. So let's look at the, let's look at the Rosh. So the Rosh, quotes the Gemara. That's, and the Rosh also says, V'alaviv v'alimo ben kach u ben kach la'achar shloshim yom. That for parents, there's no heter of, befuranuta, of having to repay a liability that one has towards others for a social gathering. So the Rosh is now quoting the Ravid. Dahacha mashma divsudat mitzvah ika isura tfeimi bisudat harashut. So the Ravid says we can seem to infer from this, that's from the Gemara, that's as I inferred from the Rambam, that in actual fact a sudat mitzvah is more stringent than a sudat harashut, because we've seen at least some instance of leniency with regard to a sudat rashut. There's a circumstance under which you can have a social gathering. Right? You can be part of a social gathering that's under certain very limited circumstances, but they exist, you know, before Anuta. Whereas, in terms of a sudat mitzvah is concerned, we don't see any sort of heter whatsoever in terms of it's not mentioned. However, uva avel rabati tanya al kol ha-meitim asur leilech le-beit ha-mishteh ad shloshim yom la-aviv u-limo ad she-igaru bo chavei rav. Now, this is interesting in itself. So the bright in Avel Rabati doesn't talk about Yud Beit Chodesh, but talks about Ajei Garu Bo Chavei Rav. That's a notion that we encountered previously with regard to hair cutting, that an Avel can cut their hair Ajei Garu Bo Chavei Rav after, you know, people start telling them they look unkempt. That's, whereas our Sugya had it as, Yud Beit Chodesh. Of course, Ajei Garu Bo Chavei Rav doesn't mean you can go to a simcha once people tell you that your hair looks messy. It means people say to you, you know, your father died 9 months ago. You know, Reti, you know, we've been to 10 weddings without you. It's not the same without you coming and doing the bottle dance. All right, so then you can, you can go. That's the Avel Rabati. Ela im kain, but this is the critical line that we're interested in. Ela im kain hayital l'shem shamayim, unless this suda was a suda which was l'shem shamayim. Alma, so that would seem to mean, disudat mitzvah yesh baheter yotem mipsudat harashut. So now we're seeing that there's a circumstance under which you can go to a sudat mitzvah, which doesn't exist with regard to sudat rashut. In actual fact, what we're saying is, if it's the l'shem shamayim, if it's a sudat mitzvah, you can go during Yud Beit Chodesh. What the sugi in Avel Rabati seems to be doing is only talking about a sudat harashut. A dinner party you can't go to. But sudat mitzvah, it seems that you can go to. That's what the Sugya in Avel Rabati is saying. It's only a sudat rashut that you can't go to. and a sudat mitzvah, you could. So how are we going to square the circle? Because our assumption from or the assumption that the Ravid is making from our Gemara is that you can't go to a sudat mitzvah, either. Now, of course, one could say that our Gemara's only talking about sudat harashut. You know, it's not, you know, the Gemara spoke about, you know, simchat mereyut, simcha and mereyut. That's, you know, what's simcha? Maybe simcha, you know, I think his understanding is that, you know, simcha means that, you know, like a wedding. But maybe a simcha could be, you know, a party, that you have a party, and mereyut is a dinner party. A dinner party, you know, is totally different to a 40th birthday party. A dinner party, you all sit round, you know, the table talking about, you know, boring things and pretending to be intellectuals and bemoaning the state of the country. Whereas a birthday party, everybody, you know, that's lets their hair down a little bit, unless it's for one of those birthdays where people no longer have hair. That's, so anyhow, how's he going to tidy it up? That so yes, the tirates. So how does the Ravid tidy it up? Hai l'shem shamayim d'shari, where it's permitted to participate in a sudat mitzvah. Hai nushu masiyaton v'toma or aniva ania l'shem shamayim v'im lo ikanes sham yitbatel hamaser. So where a person is looking after a poor person or an orphan, that's marrying them off. And if they're not part of it, if you're not part of it, so then the mitzvah just won't happen. As opposed to a wedding that you're invited to as a guest. You're invited to a wedding as a guest. Of course, you can't participate in that. But if you're if you're hosting it for somebody who would not be able to get married otherwise, so then, of course, you can be part of it. That's what's permitted. That's where we say that's l'shem shamayim. So a person, you know, he's got to marry off. You know, he's there's a poor person. Haknasat kala. There's nobody to pay for the caterer and the hall, whatever. You're doing it, and you're in avilut, so you can go to it. Now, of course, in a contemporary context, you know, we might say, no, fine, you know, sign the check and don't go. That's but in Talmudic times, you know, I suspect the arrangements were a little bit different. If you were making a wedding, it wasn't that you just engaged a caterer and, you know, showed up on the night. But, you know, you did everything. You served the meal. You you led the dancing. You played the flute and, you know, and everything. And if you don't do it, then it's not going to happen. So in that case, you can do it. So it's important to understand what's the position then of the Ravid. The position then of the Ravid is that during Yud Beit Chodesh for parents, you can't go to a Sudat HaRashut at all. You can't go to dinner parties. You also can't go to weddings unless it's the wedding for a Yatom Vitoma, that's, and you're marrying them off, and then you could go to it. Okay. Then the Rosh quotes Yerushalmi, which says, "Im haytachaburat mitzvah kiddush hachodesh mutar," which says that if it's chaburat mitzvah or kiddush hachodesh, again you can go. That's during the Yud Beit Chodesh. Now, what's chaburat mitzvah? So it explains chaburat mitzvah is kagon chaburat Pesach, and chaburat achilat kodshim, and maase sheni, v'chol davar shetzarich ba'atzmo. So the Ravid is furthermore saying, quoted by the Rosh, that we've got another heter of a mitzvah that you have to participate in. It's not attending a mitzvah as an invitee or a guest, but you bring a korban, you have to eat the korban. You've got maaseh sheni that you've brought to Yerushalayim, you have to eat it. That's the mitzvah. So I can't not do it. So the truth is, maaseh sheni, I suppose I can get somebody else to eat. But I haven't got somebody else to eat it, so I'm going to have to eat it. That's all. Whilst I'm doing it, whilst I'm eating it, I'm actually fulfilling a mitzvah. Korban Pesach. I've got to do myself. So therefore, that's even though there's mishtev simcha, right, it's going to be permissible for me. Now, again, this is interesting on a number of levels. It's interesting on the level that what we're seeing here is, on the one hand, a heter that's to participate in this. That, and on the other hand, that, you know, it's clearly telling us that, you know, were it not for the fact that this was a mitzvah, I couldn't do it. Now, you know, how much simcha is there when I'm eating my maaseh sheni or my korban pesach? Well, so, you know, I'm eating it in a chabura. I don't know, maybe, you know, I've got 10, 20, 30 people sitting down together eating this maaseh sheni. It's a maaseh sheni feast. That's, you know, I suppose there's wine flowing and meat. It's in Yerushalayim. You know, it's not a wedding. But it's more than sitting on a park bench eating your sandwiches. That's, you know, with two other friends. Then he quotes the Katav HaRabbeinu Yehuda Barzaloni, Zal, Yeshenagim Shenichnasim B'Tochu Beit Kodesh L'Veit HaChupah Lishmoah HaBrachot. That there are some people who come to the chuppah, okay, whilst they're in the Yud Beit Kodesh, just to, that's, you know, hear the brachot. You know, they attend the chuppah. Either they hear the brachot, or they want to hear the rabbi's drosha under the chuppah, or they want to see what the mother of the bride is wearing. Whatever it is. Avalo la'achila. They're not coming for the meal. They just want to hear the speeches. Bizarre, but there are people who just want to hear the speeches. So some people do that. V'yesh machmirin, she'en nichnasin klal. And there are those who won't do that. V'aramban zal katav, she'asur likanes sham klal. The Ramban says, no, you can't. Zlo olam ika simcha b'chupa, afilu shelo b'shat achila. Even attending a chupa is a simcha dik experience. V'chein noagim ba'ashkenaz, b'tochu beit chodesh, omeid chutz levayit lishmo brachot, v'einu nechlas levayit klal. So you stand outside. Stand outside the hall, and you know, outside the shul, you hear the chuppah, but you don't engage with it. So what we're seeing here is again something we haven't yet seen, and that's a notion that even something without a suda, till now all we've seen is suda. That's or we our assumption has been, you know, this simchat merayot. That's, you know, Beit HaMishteh, you know, it's all including, you know, a Mishteh, some sort of feast, some sort of, you know, drinking and eating. Whereas now we're seeing that even if it doesn't involve eating or drinking, that it's going to be prohibited as well. So we've got here, you know, a whole cholent of things. We've had the first, you know, suggestion was that, you know, that there's a heter if it's a mitzvah that, or, you know, there's a heter if it's a mitzvah that you're needed to be at. That's what. No, I wouldn't say like the rule, because the Rambam hasn't mentioned, the Rambam hasn't addressed the question of simcha, of, you know, like a wedding. And he certainly hasn't mentioned any heterim there. So, you know, we assume that according to the Rambam, everything is prohibited. But what we're seeing here is a little bit of wiggle room, okay, that if it's a mitzvah that you need to be present at, either because you're a celebrant, if you like, so you're eating the maaseh sheni, you're eating the korban pesach, right, that, or that it's, you know, you're marrying off a yatom v'toma, and if you weren't there, it wouldn't happen, you know, then you can participate. You can participate in that, and that's all based on, you know, the sugi and afel rabati and the Yerushalmi, adding into it the notion that even if there's no suda, you know, absent those other conditions, you couldn't participate. Let's also add in that's a nimuke yosef. So the nimuke yosef is also going to address the same thing. Mashma disudat mitzvah, yesh bah heter tvei. Exactly the same question that we saw from the Ravid. V'yesh lomar dahu l'shum shamayim amayrei b'sudat mitzvah d'leka simcha. So now the answer of the Nimuke Yosef to our question is that there's a type of sudat mitzvah where there's no simcha. Or I would say there's no significant simcha. Go on, Brit Milah. D'ita tzara dinuka. Inami b'masi yaton v'tomar shim lo yikanes yachnesu yitbatel hamase. So at the end he gives the answer that we saw in the Ravid and the Rosh. But he's also saying there's a certain type of sudat mitzvah where there's no simcha. So he says, Brit Milah, he says there's no real simcha there. Now he says the reason why there's no real simcha there is because there's a tzara dinuka. You know, the child, the baby's in pain. I have to say, I've been to many sudot for Brit Milah in my time. I've never seen anybody, perhaps apart from the mother, that's, you know, too worried at the suda about how the baby is. No, the baby will be fine. That's so maybe also it's just, you know, qualitatively, you know, a sudat Brit Milah is very different to a wedding. You know, even if you go to a catered Brit, you know, by one of the best caterers, you know, it's still, you know, it's going to be different to a wedding. I've never been to a catered Brit Milah where there's, you know, where there's a band and dancing. That's so that you could go to. If it's so, even though a sudat mureyus is prohibited, if it's if it's combined with the shame shamayim and there's no simcha there, then it's going to be permissible. That now the acharonim discuss the whole question as to when this heter applies. Does this heter apply that during Shloshim, the heter of say Masi Yaton V'Toma, right? So you're marrying off an orphan, or you're marrying off somebody poor, and you need to be there. Okay, does it apply during Shloshim? And if it applies during Shloshim, does it only apply to Shah Krovim, or does it apply to everybody, even for people who are mourning? Mourning parents. So this is a machloket amongst the achronim. The Bach says that it's permitted during Shloshim only for Shah Krovim, but not if you're mourning your parents. If you're mourning your parents, then it's that leniency doesn't apply till after the Shloshim. So again, we're seeing this notion of the Avelut Shloshim being stricter, or the Avelut being stricter, not just in terms of duration, but in terms of intensity. That's depending on whether a person's mourning parents or mourning anybody else. So that's the view of the Bach. However, the Shach says, in actual fact, Bichlal, the Heter doesn't apply during Shloshim. In terms of Masi Yaton V'Toma, that will only apply after Shloshim. And obviously that's only an issue as far as person who's an Avel for parents is concerned. Because if you're an Avel for anybody else, then, you know, there's nothing after Shloshim in any event. Okay. Let's look at the Aruch HaShulchan before we go on, and we're going to see this this Shita in the Aruch HaShulchan repeated a little bit later, but this Aruch HaShulchan is very important. So, he quotes the Smag, who says as follows, Yesh, that Tanya Bismachot, Dimayit HaSudah Shel Mitzvah Mutar. Right, so, this, you know, like we saw in Avel Rabati, right, that's and Masechet Smachot Avel Rabati, either the same or parallel text. Right, Sudat Mitzvah, it's Mutar. We needed to try and work out what that was. V'harav Rabbeinu Yosef, Umori Rabbeinu Yehuda, Mipi Rabbeinu Yaakov, V'Rabbeinu Yitzchak, Hayu Matirin Lavoli Sudat Chatan. V'Yushami Garsi, Yonim Hayitach Aburat Mitzvah Mutar. So these Rishonim, Rabbeinu Yosef, Rabbeinu Yehuda, Rabbeinu Yaakov, Rabbeinu Yitzchak, they took the brighter in Masechet Smachot Avel Rabate at face value. And didn't necessarily see that it was, either they didn't see that it was intention with our sugya in Moed Katan, or that they paskin like that because of the Yerushalmi. It seems they understood that our sugya is talking about that Simchat Mereyut. It's talking about a social gathering. That whereas the bright in Masechet Smachot and Yerushalmi are telling us, but if it's l'shem mitzvah, then you can participate. And they said, these Rishonim, we've got four Choshev Rishonim, we're going to see what the Archa Shulchan says about that in a moment. They say you can go to a Sudat Chatan, you can go to a wedding. So we've got Rishonim who say you can go to a wedding. That's V'Rabbeinu Yaakov, he says, who are these four Rishonim? Rabbeinu Yaakov who Rabbeinu Tam, well, he's pretty Choshev. Rabbeinu Yitzchak who Rihazakim Bala Tosfot. Ri, who comes up all the time in Tosfot, also very Choshev. Umoro, that's who was his teacher, Rabbi Yehuda Hasid. Vim ken kol rabotenu ele nirele hedge shetavsu dechol sudat mitzvah mutar v'lo nesara beit simcha beit mishteh shel rishut. V'hadisharinim b'mreyot zeh mipnei ha-pira onchov. Right, so he's saying, according to these Rishonim, that the Bavli is only talking about sudat mreyot, and there's one heter if it's Pira on if you've got a liability. And it's not addressing the question of Sudat Mitzvah. And Sudat Mitzvah is dealt with later or elsewhere in the Sugyan Avel Rabati and in the Yerushalmi. So how does that impact on us? Look at the end of the Se'if there in the Aruch HaShulchan. V'omnam, penultimate line. V'omnam, ein day azu muveit betor v'shulchan aruch. Nobody mentions it. Shulchan Aruch doesn't mention, even as a yesh omrim, that you can go to a wedding. Umikol makom sad gadol huim yesh safek b'davar. It's a helpful opinion to be aware of. If you've got a safek about a situation, then you can factor this in. In terms of what the Aruch HaShulchan here is doing, and this is very interesting, you know, just in terms of halachic methodology, what the Aruch HaShulchan is doing is he's relating to a shita which is mentioned by important Rishonim that as a valid shita to factor in where necessary. It's not normative psak, but it's a useful position to be aware of. And I would add, of course, that, you know, the Rambam didn't mention, you know, at all, a clear simcha. That, you know, the Rambam talk, look back at the Rambam, you know, the Rambam's just talking about simchat mereyut. And one, you know, you could say, as we said earlier on, that simchat mereyut, you know, and kal vachomer, a wedding, if I can't go to a dinner party, then kal vachomer, I can't go to a wedding, right? On the other hand, that's, we could say, no, maybe the Rambam's only telling us that Simchat Mereyut is prohibited, but going to a wedding where I'm going to be Mesamech Hatam Kala, I'm going to be doing a mitzvah, so then that's permitted. So in actual fact, we can say that the Shita of the Rambam is unclear there. So let's open our Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch, Shin Tzadik Aleph, Se'if Bet. I say open the Shulchan Aruch. If people are zooming, then maybe it's all online anyhow. Okay, so let's look at what the Shulchan Aruch says. I'll call out, this is Se'if Bet. Shin Tzadik Aleph, Se'if Bet. You know what, in actual fact, we'll look at Se'if Aleph as well, because it's shaykh important to be aware of. Avel asur b'simcha, so an Avel can't participate in simcha. L'fichach lo yikach tinok b'cheiko kol shiva, shemay avoli de schok. Right? You can't play with a baby. That's during Shiva. Nobody says you can't play with a baby after Shiva. During Shiva, you can't play with your person sitting Shiva and their daughter comes with the baby. That's, you know, to see their mother sitting Shiva. Mother can't play with their granddaughter because that, you know, that makes them happy, playing with the baby till the baby does something on you. That's, you know, makes you happy. Okay, al kol ha-meitim nichnas le-beit ha-mishteh l'achar 30 yom, al aviv yalimo l'achayut beit chodesh. Right, so what's our lashon here? Our lashon here is le-beit ha-mishteh. That's, so it's not clear exactly what, of course, a beit ha-mishteh is. Beit ha-mishteh, that could mean, you know, going down the pub. That's, or it could mean a wedding. You know, you think about the first mishnah in Masechet Brachot. Maso vau vanav mi beit ha-mishteh. Amru lo karinu et shema. Right? So, you know, they came from the beit ha-mishteh. Does that mean that is the Tanna's sons were down the pub, or as we usually understand it, they were at a wedding feast? But let's see. V'im ha-shaa asav v'alavivim olachayu beit chodesh v'afim ha-shanam u'beret mutal achayu beit chodesh. Umihu simchat mereyut. Now simchat mereyut seems to be different to beit ha-mishteh. Right, so beit ha-mishteh is perhaps more of a simcha than simchat mereyut. Shaya chayav lifroata miyad, mutal asota miyad achar shiva, avonim einu chayav lepara, asol likanes la ad shloshim. V'alaviv v'alimo afa pishe chayav lepara, asol achar yud beit chodesh. So that's no big chidushim there. Essentially what we saw in the Rambam, with the same chilukim and the same ambiguities, but certainly no mention of a wedding or anything like that. That's though, if we cast our eye on Sif Gimel, of course, we'll see the Mechaber says Likanes l'chupa shelo b'shat achila lishmo habrachot yesh matim yesh osrim elo omed chutz l'bayit lishmo habrachot. So it's clear that the Mechaber is holding that you know, if you can't even go to the chupa, then kavachomer you can't go to the suda. Now let's look at the Rama. So the Rama says over chaburat mitzvah. Right, so you're marrying off some poor child, that's, and if you don't participate, then it won't happen. Right, so it's permitted only after shloshim. Aval toch shloshim aso lekol sudat mitzvah sheba'olam. But when it's toch shloshim, then there's no grounds for leniency. That's now, this was the point, you know, of machloket between the Bach and the Shach that I referred you to earlier. That's as to whether this is referring to that's either shakro or even shakrovim or only for avvaim. But in any event, what the Rama is saying is that certainly for avvaim, that's, and according to the Shach for shakrovim as well, that you can't go to any sudat mitzvah during shloshim. It's under any circumstances. Aval sudat mitzvah let by simcha, that's mutali kanespa. That's, if it's, however, now he's qualifying it, when we said, it's just said, you can't get to any sudat mitzvah. Now we're saying, but if there's no simcha, you can. Kagon pidyon haben or sudat brit mila, mutal echol sham afilu toch shiva. There you could go even during Shiva. The only problem is that, you know, you can't go outside your house. But yeah, it's your grandson's Brit, and they're having the Brit in the Shiva house. Never heard of a Brit in the Shiva house, but you could. That's, so you're not going out of the house for that. So then you could participate in it because there's no simcha. V'yesh osrim b'shudat Brit mila. However, there are those who say you can't. And then the Rama tells us what the minhag is. Minhag shelo lechol b'shum suda ba'olam kol yud beit chodesh imu chutz leveito. So the minhag is you don't participate in any suda whatsoever. That's for the whole yud beit chodesh if it's outside of your house. V'toch habayit mikilin she'ochel b'veito b'suda brit mila v'kol shekein b'shar sudot she'im bahem simcha. So he's telling us the minhag is that you don't go to any suda outside of home for the whole Yud Beit Chodesh, and If it's in your home, then provided it's not a sudat nisuin, you can go. That's now again, he's saying shah sudot shein bahem simcha. So it's not clear whether he's talking about sudat harashut or only sudat sudat mitzvah. Fine. And then he says, Aval su bal brit or moel yubash mikdei shabbat alacha mila mutali kanis lemila v'lechol shamim ulacha shloshim afal pishein hamila b'beito. Okay, fine. So what we've got is, you know, really a bit, again, a little bit of a cholent pot here, that with a whole range of possibilities. But what the Rama seems to be saying is that certainly the minhag is that you don't go to any suda for the whole Yud Beit Chodesh, that even if it's a suda brit mila or something like that, that you don't go, and certainly sudat mareyut you don't go to. That's now we've got a few observations in the acharonim. That's look at the Gilyon Marsha, the Gilyon Marsha at the bottom of the page. That's so the Gilyon Marsha says, "Aval suda mitzvah suda belel shabbat b'shavu shenol ad bav zachar." Okay, so shalom zachar suda chinuch habayit sherotzel chanech beito b'torah v'mitzvot suda bar mitzvah minchanchin hanalid rosh. Sudat Shiduchin, Sudat Chanukah, Kulu Ave Sudat Mitzvah. Okay, so he's saying all of those are Sudat Mitzvah. That's, but not everybody's in agreement. If you look in the Dagul Mervava, that's which is, of course, the Nadav Yehuda, so says, B'shum Sudat Sheba Olam, V'vasiyum Masechet, Ein Le'el Simen Reish Mem Vav, B'shach Sich Katan Kaf Vav. Okay, so the Shach there says that you can go to a Sud Siyum Masechet. That's the Sudat Brit Mila, Mashma Biyam Shel Shmuel, Perik Meruba, Shedino Kasiyum Masechta. Behind me, Manar Doreish, Shoshum Mamash, Biyom Shenaseh Bar Mitzvah. So again, saying that these types of Sudot one can go to. However, it's not Muskam Ledivrei Hakol. That's if you look in the Chochmat Adam, which I've got on the page for you, the Chochmat Adam says v'sidat siyum katav hashach b'simun reish mem vav d'mutal avel toch shnei masach chodesh lechol sham but tzarich iyun lefi min hagenu shekatav rama. Okay, so we seem to have a machloket, even though these achronim on the page have said that you can go to such a sudot, that the Chochmat Adam is telling us that according to the Rama, that's one shouldn't. The Kitzur Shulchan Aruch also paskins that way as well. And it seems, broadly speaking, correct. Now, let's look at these are questions which, you know, do very frequently, come up, you know, sort of, can a person go to various types of suda? Let's look at a tshuva of the Igrot Moshe, and then we'll try and apply things a bit further, and then we'll... then we'll look at Shulchan Aruch again, one or two other things. So, Legabe Ezeh Sudot Eshar Lahatil Avel Toch Yud Beit Chodesh Lelech. Nireh Sheh Besudat Bar Mitzvah, Kshu Karov O Yedid Kazeh Sheh Mukhrach Lelech, Yachol. Sometimes people, it's my nephew's Bar Mitzvah, you know, or my wife's nephew's Bar Mitzvah, you know, can I go? That's so Rav Moshe is saying he can go, but I've got a question here. Yachol, v'im hu b'beit ha-midrash, ein tzarech latzeit ha-havei p'farhes, yeah? K'shezeh b'shabbat u'mo'adim. Now, I'm not sure, so he's saying that, you know, if it's, you know, there's a, I don't know, a Suda Shlishit, you know, in shul, that's, whether it's just a Stam Suda Shlishit or it's for a bar mitzvah, whatever it is, that's, you know, everybody's sitting down after mincha, you know, to leave would be Avilut Farhesia. And that's obviously, Avilut Farhesia is a problem on Shabbat and Moadim. Now, I'm not sure if he's saying that just about the clause Zeim Hubaveta Midrash, or he's saying it even about, you know, during the week. So, or even about the clause that Kishu Karova you did Kazer. So, my question is, in Rav Moshe, is he saying that, no, listen, you're a close relative, you've got to go to the Bar Mitzvah. Alright, so, you know, even if it's during the week, you can go. Or is he saying, no, if it's on Shabbat, you can go, because not to go would be Avilut Farhesia. But during the week you can't go. I think that the latter is what he's saying. That's again, it might make some difference as to the nature of the suda. you know, the type of bar mitzvah that Rav Moshe was used to in Russia, and Larry Stein in the 1950s. Wasn't necessarily the same as a bar mitzvah, you know, in a West End hotel with Tony Page catering. That's and a band flown in from America. That's, you know, so there might be a difference. But I think during the week, you know, you can't go to a bar mitzvah suda. As you're an oven, you can't go. But Shabbat, so if you're very close to them, so then he's saying you can go because it would be an issue of Avelut B'Farhesia. Bichlal got sort of a bit of a question on that in terms of what's the definition of Avelut B'Farhesia. We'll have a whole shiur on the question of Avelut on Shabbat. And it seems to me that the definition of Avelut B'Farhesia is where I do something that demonstrates Avelut. But where it's Sheval Tase, where I'm not actually doing anything, I'm not convinced that that demonstrates Avelut. So, you know, there can be 101 reasons why I haven't gone to, you know, somebody's Simcha. It's true. If I get up and walk out, right, you know, because I'm in Avelut. So that would be a problem of Avelut Farhesia. But I just don't show up. I can't really see why that would be a problem of Avelut Farhesia. No, I didn't come because, well, even if the family, close family, no, I didn't come because I was in Avelut. You know, I'm not actively doing anything which is Avelut. So that's a question I've got. Well, Agabe Sudat Chanukah, Misha Oseh Sudat, Eino Sudat Mitzvah, Linyan Zeh, Belachein Afim Oseh Echad, Ein Ha'avel Rashai Leilich, Gamli Sudat Eta Ezeh Hadmorim B'Chanukah Ein Leilich. Sudat Chanukah Tabayit, Me'achash Elon Nehige Chulei Amal Asot Sudat Zu, Ein Rashai Leilich. So all these things, that even if you call it a Sudat Mitzvah, that's, there's no reason why you can go, because it's not really a proper Sudat Mitzvah that you have to make. The Sudat Shalom Zachar Shosim B'Lel Shabbatim U'Karov Yidid Rashai Leilech Sheit Chashev Kufar Hesia. Again, Shalom Zachar. Now, Shalom Zachar, because you can ask the question, calling it Sudat Shalom Zachar. You know, eating three chickpeas, that's a gummy bear, and having a shot of whiskey, that's, and then going home, you know, I'm not sure if that's, I'd call that a Suda. That's number one. Number two, again, I can't really see, you know, there are lots of reasons why a person doesn't go to a Shalom Zachar. Often you go to a Shalom Zachar, but no, I wish I could come. I've got guests. You know, sometimes I say to the person who invite me to a Shalom Zachar, I'll say, yeah, you know, we've got guests tonight. If they leave early, you know, then I'll come. But, you know, I can't promise. Shalom Zachar, everybody's in and out anyhow. So you came, you didn't come. It's hard for me to understand exactly why that's Avelut B'Farhesia. Yes. Maybe, but I still think it's Shefi Al Tase. That's, yeah, your wife goes and you don't go. In terms of, it is more evident, but as we'll see, that's, as we'll see, when we, come to,